Italy and the States, and I went to Germany, and I've been to Japan, Okinawa, Vietnam, Newfoundland. And while I was in the Marines, I also traveled to other countries. I went to Morocco, and I missed everything. I went to Germany, I went to Japan, I went to Okinawa, I went to Italy. I don't think I missed anything.
Okay. How would you define race and discrimination?
How would I define race and discrimination?
Mm-hmm.
And relationship to what?
Like, just, like, I guess just with the things that you've experienced or what you know,
okay.
Personally.
Okay. That's the easy one. Race became an issue when I first went into the service. Just being from the north, you know, Philadelphia, New York, I really didn't come into problems until I went into the military, and I was stationed down south. And then when I was stationed down south, places you would go, you'd see signs that said, you know, white and colored.
Mm-hmm.
And there were places you couldn't go because of your color.
Right.
You couldn't go, you know, you couldn't go into the movies. You couldn't go into certain stores. You couldn't go to drive-ins. And there were always signs of that white and colored.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even, you couldn't even go to the bus station. The bus stations, when you went to buy your ticket, they sold tickets on one side for those of color, and on the other side, the white person.
Right.
You couldn't go into the cafeterias that they had in the bus stations or buy a sandwich or something. You couldn't do that. And discrimination, there are just certain places that you couldn't go, or you didn't go, or they wouldn't allow you in. Like when I was stationed, when I was stationed in Germany, there were clubs and bars that you couldn't go in because the white service people didn't want you in their bars. It wasn't necessarily the German people. It was the American GIs who didn't want you to go into their clubs. So they wouldn't let you in. So they had bars and clubs for, you know, GIs of color. And they had bars and clubs for white GIs. And you just, you know, you can go in to the different clubs. And like the discrimination is basically, you know, there were places that you could go and places that you couldn't go. And it was all based on the color of your skin.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what made you join the Marines?
You don't laugh at this. Maybe this is over. I fell in love with John Wayne. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I had saw some movies that he played in, and he was a Marine. And I wanted to travel. I knew Marines traveled quite a bit. And I liked their dress blue uniform.
Do you ever wish you could be, when you were stationed in the Marines, do you ever wish you could be another race so that your life would be easier?
No. I always wanted to be me. I didn't want to be somebody else just to get by.
Well,
I got by being me. fortunate in that I was respected being me. I didn't have to pretend to be anybody else. I was just me, and I was respected for that.
So other than the signs, you never had, like, any physical altercations with, like, white?
With race?
Yeah, with, like...
Yeah, I had a guy that I was stationed with, and the three of us, so three Marines, we were selected to go someplace for special duty. And there were two white Marines and me. And just one of the white Marines, where we went, we were supposed to have individual rooms, but it was the tourist season. And they only had two rooms. So two of us had the room together. And since we were all corporals at the time, and the senior corporal, we were going to let him have the room by himself. But this one guy went up to this other guy, he pulled him to the side, and he said that he didn't want to sleep in the room with me. And he asked the other guy, would he mind sleeping in the room with me? And he said, no, he didn't have any problems with that. And he told me what the guy said. I said, ain't a big deal. You know, I knew he would like that. I didn't sleep in the room with him, and he didn't sleep in the room with me. That's one incident, you know, that happened. There were other times, things that happened. There were people in the military who didn't like me because I was, you know, I was black. I understood that because I understood where they were from and how they were brought up. My biggest problem, though, when I was in boot camp here, and that was in South Carolina, and this was way back. I was 17 years old. This was 1954, and there were a lot of guys in boot camp with me who were from the South. And there are only five black guys in my particular boot camp. And four of us are from Philadelphia. The other guys from Buffalo, New York. And when we got to boot camp, our drill instructor said to us, we're not going to tolerate anything about race. If he heard anything, anybody say anything about race, he's going to kick them. So... Even though people wanted to say things and do things, they didn't do it because they know that you would kick their butt.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. But
was your when you were younger, like, was your educational experiences like similar to your Marine experiences? Like in school, like was it the same way or was it different?
No, my school friends were the same. I went to Catholic school in New York. And it was an all-black Catholic school.
Okay.
From kindergarten to eighth grade. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my, all of the nuns, all my teachers were white. Okay? I had no black teachers. And then my first year of high school was also in New York. And, it was funny because I went to, the high school that I went to my first year was an annex of another high school in New York, which was very popular, but at that time you had to take a test to get into the school. And a lot of people wanted to go to the school that I wanted to go to. So they had three annexes in the city that you went to your freshman year. And I went to one of the annexes, St. Thomas, my first year. And when I say it was funny, I never realized that there were so many different black folks, okay? And what I'm saying is that in my class, I had black Puerto Ricans, I had a couple of Cubans, I had a couple of people from the West Indies, I actually had a couple of guys who came across the Big Sea, the Big River, who were from Africa. And let me see if I missed anybody. think I missed anybody.
Are you familiar with the stories of like the lunch counter sit-ins, the murder of Emmett Till, the
yes.
So when you hear about those, like, what emotions go through your mind, or how do you feel?
It's funny that you asked me that. When I was stationed in Italy, I was in Italy when Emmett Till was killed, and the duty that I pulled in Italy, we pulled duty two Marines in an Italian Carabinieri. The Carabinieri is a federal officer of Italy. One night we were on duty, me and another Marine. The other Marine that I was on duty with a white Marine who we joined Italy together. He was from Washington, D.C. And we were on duty, it's like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, just three of us in the building. So we just started, you know, talking like we do a lot. And this Carabinieri, he had a little folder, a little bag that they wore on their side. And in the bag, he pulled out this paper. And he unfolded the paper. And it was a picture of Emmett Till. Of course, the paper was in Italian. And he asked me how I could serve in the military for a country that did something like this. Okay? So I was, what, 18, 19 at the time. And obviously I wasn't, you know, I couldn't explain to him like I could now how I could do that. So basically what I said to him was, everybody wasn't like that. Okay? I said, yeah, it's wrong. I definitely don't like to see stuff like that. But there's nothing I can do to change it. Okay?
Let's see. Did you ever, like, when you went back home, did you ever, I guess, fear the life of, you know, your siblings, that the simple fact that they were black, they could be killed at any time? Like, did that ever, like, cross your mind, like, at all?
That they could be, something could happen to them?
Yes, just for the simple fact that they were black in a time like this.
Yes, it did. Not so much the girls, okay? But my cousins and stuff like that, the boys, males. The policeman right there in Philadelphia were very racist, even the black policeman. And they treated black males differently. I mean, I got hit a couple times by Philadelphia policemen. I got arrested a couple times by Philadelphia policemen. For doing nothing. You know, just being, as the expression goes, just being black. Okay.
Okay. Last question. Do you believe that children in today's society, today's century, take the opportunities that they have now for granted?
Yes. Yes. I get upset sometimes when I realize that the opportunities that you guys have and the opportunities that were not available for, say, my age, way back when. That bothers me that, the young folks today don't take advantage of the opportunities. It's not everybody, but I would say most of them don't take advantage of the opportunities that are available.
Yeah, your nephew here is a perfect example.
Yes, I was getting ready to say that. It's a shame. And yes, your brother is one that, I was so glad when I heard that, you know, he was on the drug school, he got all of that. But while he was in school, and up to this point, he's still hasn't taken all the advantages that's available to him based on his ability to do the things that he can do. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, sure do.
Okay. So that's, yes, that's a good question. I like that question.
Yeah, I personally, that's why I asked the question, because I know that children today in today's society are so disrespectful and do not take advantage of opportunities given to them now. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure that, like, I wasn't the only person that felt that way.
No, you're definitely not the only person, man. You're definitely. I feel very strongly about that. I mean, I see kids now and young folks, you know, who I know aren't taking advantage of things that are available to them. And it hurts me to see that because, you know, the advantages weren't there before. They're there now. There's no excuse now, none whatsoever.
Do you think this is just a follow-up question. Do you think, like, the things that are happening now, like the Brown case and Trayvon Martin, do you think this is a repeat of what's been happening in the 1950s?
Yes. Things have never really gone away. This is my personal feeling now. Things have never really gone away. You know, they've changed some and they've gotten better. But things have really not gone away. And even though it's not as open as it was before,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's still there.
What do you think, it will take for, or do you ever think that there will truly be no racism, like, ever, if at all?
No. I won't live to see it, you won't live to see it, your children won't live to see it. I think it'll always be there.
Sad to hear, but I agree.
Okay.
Well, thanks for sharing your stories with
me. No problem. Anytime. I have nothing else to do now but share stories.